The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, scoreboard update with the man himself, Nathaniel Finch, and then we'll reconnect with Pat Boylan and talk about more about the Pacers. But to bring you up to date on what's happened around the state in semi-state championship action, here is the star of our show, Network Indiana's Nathaniel Finch.
I'm Nathaniel Finch with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Coach, you said it, semi-state championships. We know all the matchups for 2 weeks from now at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The IHSAA state titles, we'll talk about that. I'll give you the Pacers score and tell you how they beat Brooklyn, similar to what Pat Boylan is doing, but he can obviously go a lot more in-depth than myself. Purdue didn't get it done today. We'll talk about that game and what it means moving forward for the Boilermakers. Trine, your Division III champions. We'll talk about that, winning a national championship today and the rest of the small college ball and postseason college scores. But let's start with high school basketball action. In 4A, it's Fishers heading to the state championship. They defeat Fort Wayne 69-61. They'll take on Ben Davis, who beat Jeffersonville 52-51 today at Newcastle. So Fishers against Ben Davis in 4A. Then in 3A, advancing is South Bend St. Joseph, a rather peculiar 44-41 triple overtime win over Delta today. They will face Scottsburg, who defeated Garen Catholic, a very good Garen Catholic team. 70-54 was that final. So we'll have South Bend St. Joseph and Scottsburg in 3A. 2A action, another overtime finish. Wapahani wins 60-49 over Fort Wayne Blackhawk. Wapahani will face Brownston Central, who wins 66-56 over Park Heritage. The 2A matchup 2 weeks from now, Wapahani, Brownston Central. Finally, in Class A, you've got Fort Wayne Canterbury, who defeats Liberty Christian just barely 56-53, the last game of the night, and they advance to the state title. Will face Bethesda Christian, who took care of Bar Reeve 63-38 that final. So in Class 1A, it is Fort Wayne Canterbury against Bethesda Christian. Those are your semi-state scores. Let's talk some Pacers. Final score today, 121-100 for Indiana. Pascal Siakam led the team with 28 points and 11 rebounds. He also put up 4 assists, tied for the team lead with Tyrese Haliburton, who had 14, 7, and 4 in this contest. TJ McConnell, 13 points off the bench. Aaron Nesmith had 16 as a starter, and they defeat Brooklyn the first of 3 matchups against the Nets over the next handful of weeks. Purdue, they fall by a penny in overtime, 76-75. Wisconsin moves on. They will play Illinois in the Big Ten Tournament Championship tomorrow. Purdue gets the night off before they will head to Indianapolis next week for the first and hopefully second round of the NCAA Division I Tournament. The Boilermakers fall 76-75. Trine wins the Division III National Championship. They represent the state of Indiana well. National champions as a 13 seed. They take down number one Hampton Sydney 69-61. The final there, Cortez Garland 22 points for the Thunder. As far as other small college basketball, UIndy, a big win to advance in the first round of the Midwest Regional, which the Hounds are hosting. Jarvis Walker, 23 points to lead the team to a 71-65 victory over William Jewell. The Hounds in action tomorrow night in Nickerson Hall, south side of Indianapolis, 7:30 against the GLIAC's Ferris State. Looking at the rest of the small college ball slate, congratulations to Grace, a big win for them, 106-61. The top-ranked Grace College team defeats 8th-seeded Union. After that, Indiana Wesleyan, 92-81 winners over the 7th-seed Tennessee Southern. IWU is a 2-seed. They're now in their 14th NAIA Sweet 16. After that, a couple losses for the state of Indiana. Congratulations to Bethel and Huntington on a pair of great seasons. Bethel loses 79-76, a heartbreaker to Central Baptist, while Huntington, equally tough, 73-69 was that final. They lost to Arizona Christian. The 3-seed Huntington was an 11-seed, as was Bethel. Hey, next time you hear from me, we'll get you all those high school scores again that you love to hear. That's next. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. 30 years of Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Pat Boylan from the Indiana Pacers rejoins me. Pacers tonight beat Brooklyn 121-100. They continue to play well. These are important wins as we get ready for the playoffs, are they not?
They certainly are. And any win, Bob, of course, when you get into mid, late March, early April, they're important. But when you consider what the standings look like, I can't remember anything that's really like this. Right now, just three games separate fourth from eighth. And there's a massive difference between being fourth and having home court advantage and being in eighth. And then you're the play-in tournament. You've had a road first game. And the Pacers are in the middle of all of this right now. So they're in sixth. But they're just a half game up on seventh. Just a game up on eighth, a game and a half out of fifth. I mean, so every single night, it's like jumble up the standings and pick them out of a, you know, pick them out of a hat. It's that tightly contested. So each and every one of these games down the stretch is going to really, really matter.
You know, their playoff games, their playoffs have already started, quite frankly. I mean, that's the mentality you have to have going into these games is this is literally winning, losing, we're out. That's how you have to approach these kinds of games with the standings as they are. And I think that's great for you to get you into that mode of thinking that way as you head into this particular point in the year.
Well, here's one great example that just proves that point is if you look back at the way the Pacers were playing in November and December, they were playing 140 to 130 types of games, and they were exciting. Right. There wasn't a lot of defense, and we all know once you get into the playoffs, the game slows down, the defenses tighten the screws. It just becomes a different brand of basketball. In the last 6 days, the Pacers have held two opponents to 100 or less. And I couldn't have imagined saying that. So you're already starting to see it. You're getting these playoff-like games, and the games are slowing down, and the defenses are really starting to ratchet up the intensity. And you're seeing more of the Pacer, if you will, brand of basketball that you've been used to seeing over the last few decades, to be honest.
Yeah, but you also have to look at it from the standpoint of you have to maintain your identity. You don't want to lose your identity. And, yeah, you can tighten up and play better defensively, but you still want to be the guys who run the floor, share the ball, willing passers, all of that on the offensive end, which they're able to do. And it's encouraging to see that they can win by playing different styles, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's important, too. The 140 to 130 types of games, you know, that's probably not sustainable over the course of the season. Can you also win a game like they did in Orlando, giving up 97 points a little less than a week ago? And, you know, even in a game like tonight, which was the Pacers were over 120, so they were just fine offensively. But 30 points off of the turnover is just a massive, massive number. And that's really a key dynamic for them is when they get out and run, they're really good. And when they can force the turnover, they're really, really good. And they did that tonight. And I completely agree with you. You're probably not going to see Pacers games in the playoffs where they're winning 140 to 130. I mean, maybe one, but that's not how the playoffs work.
Right.
So learning to win games like tonight, like they did in Orlando last Sunday, I think is really important and will be significant for this group over the last month or so.
Pat Boylan, you're going to get to see us on the 2A Boys Championship game coming up in a couple of weeks. I promise to get a haircut. Seriously, but it'll still be all white, but I promise to get it cut just for you, okay?
All right, well, I appreciate that, although I will call a game with you with the most unruly hair possible. I am more than happy to do that as long as I'm paired with you. But you can tell, Bob, how much great basketball is here happening in this state because The Pacers are going away for five games after this because we got to get the
right.
We got to get the March Madness games in, and then we got to get the high school state tournament games in. So you rarely see the Pacers go away for a break this long, this late in the year. But it's because we got a lot of good basketball to play in Gainesville Fieldhouse.
Well, you and I are going to have a great one with Wapahani and Brownstown Central. So I just want you to be prepared for that. This will be a great, great game. And for me, at this stage of my life and my career, the opportunity to work with guys like you, one of the reasons I keep doing it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I am very much as well looking forward to working with you and looking forward to diving into this matchup. And I guess we get an extra week to prep for it, right? So we'll certainly be ready when game time comes.
Pat Boylan, great to talk to you, Pat. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Bob, thank you.
Thanks so much. One of the great young broadcasters in our state. We're fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with a lot of them. All right, coming up, we have more basketball to talk about. We have a scoreboard update coming up in a few minutes with Nathaniel Finch. All right, Nathaniel, I'm going to have you come up. He is the star of our show because he has the scores. We've had some good things happen around the state in basketball tonight, especially on the high school side. We'll talk about that and much more. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Nathaniel Finch with this Network Indiana scoreboard update from our downtown Indianapolis studios from Monument Circle. Let's take a look at the scores around the state in high school basketball action today. I've got some bad news. We only have four high school basketball games left this year. It's because we had the semi-states today. Teams had to play one game in the morning and a finals game at night for Fishers. They defeated Crown Point in the morning. Then they defeated Fort Wayne Wayne at night, 69-61 the final. The Tigers moving on to the 4A state title. They will play Ben Davis, who had to beat Santa Grove, then Jeffersonville. They win 52-51 over Jeffersonville. Fishers and Ben Davis will meet in 2 weeks, March 30th at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the 4A state title. Meanwhile, South Bend St. Joseph outlasts Delta 44-41, the final triple overtime that game went. South Bend St. Joseph will go to Gainbridge Fieldhouse and take on Scottsburg, who won 70-54 over Garand Catholic in the 3A semi-state today from Seymour. In Class 2A, Wapahani overtime winners 60-49 over Fort Wayne Blackhawk. Wapahani had to defeat North Judson in the early game to get there. They will face Brownston Central in the state title game for 2A, who defeated Park Heritage 66-56. Brownston Central got past Park Tudor by a point. 50-49 was that final. An amazing performance from Jack Benter today. Finally, in the 1A game, Bethesda Christian will take on Fort Wayne Canterbury after Canterbury got a 56-53 win over Liberty Christian. Bethesda Christian defeated Bar Reeves 63-38. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. High school basketball tonight, or today. Just a lot of great action. Semi-state Saturday, always one of the best days of the year because you win, you're going to a championship down at Seymour. Scottsburg beats Garand Catholic 70-54 to win the semi-state. David Deaton from WKLO on the call of this championship game. David, thank you so much for the call. What a great day of basketball down in Seymour today.
Well, Coach, actually, I was just an observer more than anything else for this championship game, but great to actually get to sit in the crowd and watch. What a great atmosphere it was at Seymour. Seymour does such a great job hosting the semi-state, really all the tournament events that they host throughout the year. They're one of the best out there, and just a great atmosphere. Scottsburg had a fantastic crowd, and it's a historic day for Scottsburg, a fellow Mid-Southern Conference team, as they make their first ever boys basketball appearance in the state finals with a program and a community that has a great tradition and history in basketball. And their girls have made it a few times in the past, but their boys finally broke through and beat a very good Garand Catholic team that defeated the Warriors last year in this very same round. So it's a huge deal for head coach Eric Richardson and his team. They worked all off season and all season to get back to this point, and now they've finally gotten over the hump, and they're heading to Indianapolis here in a couple weeks. So it's a great day for the Scottsburg community for sure.
I mean, that's a great story, having lost to Garen a year ago and then be able to come back. The likelihood of that happening is not very strong. That's hard to do, to have both of them have the kinds of years they had to reach that point again, which I think is a tremendous storyline. And so, you know, Scottsburg, you've seen them more, you know more about them. I just, from afar, have been impressed with how consistent they have been. They played at such a high level the entire year, and that is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. You're exactly right. I mean, it's so difficult when you make it to a Final Four the year before in your class, and then you have this target on your back the entire season. And Scottsburg, along with Brownstown Central, have been the top two far and above in the Mid-Southern Conference all season long, really going back to last season. And this Warrior team, I mean, you talk about a senior-laden team, great leadership on this team from Cody Clancy, their 6'4 guard, and he stepped up huge tonight with 26 points for his team to lead them and just played so well. And then Wyatt Zellers, their 6'9 power forward, who's a really good athlete, can shoot outside, can post up on the block. Very good player. Caden Richardson, who's been kind of a point forward for them this season, has been a tremendous passer, leads the team in assists. And Jack Miller, the 6'6 guard, who's committed to Hanover College, who is just a sharpshooter. All he's got to do is see it go through once, and he is on fire from that point on mostly. But then the wild card on this team has been their 5'7 junior guard, Dare Bowles. This kid is a shooter, much like Miller, not quite as long or as athletic, but he was massive in that first half. 5 threes on 7 attempts in that first half. He ends up with 18 points on the night. He was the one who got Scottsburg going in that first half when Garen Catholic was driving to the basket. Scottsburg was nailing threes from behind the perimeter. It's not a very deep team, but they've got a very good starting five. They've been well established over their careers, and they're just a real solid team. Very fundamentally sound, space the floor. They share the ball really well, and then defensively they're just so long and athletic they make it very difficult on their opponents.
Well, it sounds like this is going to set up to be a really, really classic 3A matchup. So is it close in this game most of the way? I'm thinking, you know, with the early shooting exploits, you know, it seems like it's a close ball game, even though, you know, it's a 16-point advantage. When does Scottsburg be able – when are they able to pull away, if you will?
Well, it kind of happened there in the second quarter. It was kind of back and forth early. They had about 7 lead changes, I think it was, of that first quarter. And then in the second, Scottsburg just kept knocking down threes. Bowles made 4 of those threes in the second quarter, and then Cody Clancy made 1 himself. And Garen kind of went cold there for a little bit there in the second quarter, so it allowed Scottsburg to build an 11-point lead by halftime. They got it up to about 15 in the third quarter. And then Garen, as you would expect them to do, came back. They made a 3 at the end of the third quarter to cut the lead down to 5. But Scottsburg never really got rattled. They stretched that lead back out to 10. And then as Garen was trying to make a comeback, Scottsburg had a response every time. And then they got to the free throw line in the fourth quarter, made their shots from there, and just got enough done to be able to get by and get that lead up to 16. So it was a fairly close game, but Scottsburg able to pull away in the second half and secure the win to get their ticket to Indianapolis in a couple weeks for the 3A title game.
David Deaton, a spectator tonight, but you know David Deaton from WKLO, talking about Scottsburg's 70-54 win over Garen Catholic in the Seymour Semi-State. It's great to talk to you, David. You're unbelievably important to what we try to do on Friday and Saturday nights, and I appreciate your willingness to call us and appreciate how professional and how good you are at it, and you make our show better when you call us, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Coach, and thank you for all you do for high school sports and promoting it each and every Friday and Saturday night throughout the season. We certainly appreciate it and always enjoy listening to the show, and glad to be a small part of that and in your 30th anniversary this year. So I appreciate it and glad to be able to call in and talk about Southern Indiana basketball and football with you throughout the season.
I appreciate the kind words. Have a great weekend, David. Thank you so much.
Thanks. You too, Coach.
Thanks. All right. We got basketball. Still basketball to talk about. Okay, Nathaniel Finch. You and I have talked about your guys at UIndy and their win today in the first round of the Division II National Tournament, which they are hosting at the University of Indianapolis. But it was, you know, you see them obviously more than I do. Today's win illustrates the inside-out balance that they have. They have tremendous post play. They got two strong post players who played awfully well today. A group of perimeter guys who can absolutely play on both ends of the floor. They're a tough out. They're a tough-minded group, and they make it difficult for you to score.
Yes, and last year, you know, they were in a similar situation, hosted the Midwest region as the one seed, lost to the eight seed. Coach Corsaro was very, very, I don't even know the word to describe it, but he was deliberate today. These guys, they wanted it more. You can tell last year right. They were kind of going through the motions. This year they knew, hey, this one, nothing is given to us. We need to get this monkey off the back. We need to win a game, and they did that. So now they can really set their sights on what's next.
So next is Ferris State at Nickerson Hall tomorrow. Is 7:30 start, is that right?
Yep, 7:30. Ferris State, the last time these two teams played, 2016, second round of the Midwest Regional Tournament.
Right.
And it was Ferris State who won by two in a thriller.
See, I brought it up with Coach Corsaro earlier tonight. This is the first time they've won a postseason game, I think, in eight trips. Is that the number?
It's close to that, yes.
Yeah. So it's about time. And why not them? I mean, you're hosting for a reason. You played great basketball during the GLVC regular season, and you worked hard to get this opportunity. And I'm sure that's one of the talking points is you worked hard to get to this point. You don't want to you want to take advantage of it, for heaven's sake, because you don't get these opportunities very often. So this will be an interesting matchup. And if they win tomorrow, then what's ahead of them?
They'll play in the regional championship Tuesday night. If they win that, then all of a sudden they're off to the Elite Eight in Evansville at the Ford Center. They reseed the top eight teams.
Yikes. So these next two games, in theory, are going to be at the Nickerson Hall,
yep,
correct?
That's right.
Oh, outstanding.
Your favorite building.
No, it's not. I mean, my teams did win some games in that building. My teams lost some games. We were cheated in some games. I have no problem saying that. I was kicked out of one of those games. I was actually kicked out of a game that was over. The horn had already sounded because the score or the table would go ahead and let the time run out, and I was kicked out of that game for objecting to being cheated. And so, you know, I wish I had more time, but that's part of my relationship with that building. Scoreboard update coming up with Nathaniel Finch. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Nathaniel Finch with this Network Indiana Scoreboard Update. Let's start with the Indiana Pacers, 121-100 winners over the Brooklyn Nets. This one at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And now with this win over the Nets, the Pacers have played every single team. The Nets were the last team that they have yet to face. That's changed. In fact, they will see Brooklyn three times, including today, over the next handful of weeks. Playing well in the game was Pascal Siakam. He had 28 points and 11 rebounds to lead the game in both categories. Also had four assists. Tyrese Haliburton, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Wasn't asked to do a whole lot with Siakam having success, the team getting a cushy lead late in the second half. So the Pacers now, they'll play the Nets again on April 1st and on April 3rd. But before that, they will return to the floor after having a couple nights off recently. The next trip to the hardwood is going to be on Monday against Cleveland, 7 o'clock tip, Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Be there and support the Indiana Pacers. Meanwhile, in college basketball, we've got a few more teams won their conference tournament, sealed their bid into the March Madness NCAA tournament. That, of course, Selection Sunday tomorrow. Oregon gets a big win, 75-68 over Colorado in the Pac-12 final. Western Kentucky seals their spot. And, of course, NC State steals a bid. NC State wins 84-76 over the fourth-ranked team in the nation in North Carolina. A big one there for Indiana State fans who are hoping for an at-large bid I'll tell you more about that and the situation and the hopes that Indiana State has next, including high school scores. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine joins me from Minneapolis. Kip, thanks so much for the call. Great day of basketball, but not a great day for the Boilermakers. They lose a heartbreaker to Wisconsin in a toughly played game. And they had chances, but not able to handle Checky Hepburn down the stretch was a little bit of a problem for the Boilers.
Well, yeah, the shot that sent the game into overtime, Zach Edey was out pressuring the ball, which is fine. But then Chucky just got around the guards and went and shot a layup. But the other side of that is if Zach Edey's under the basket protecting the rim, then maybe that store will hit a three-pointer. So Wisconsin really played well. And then in that overtime, it's just making a play at the end, and Wisconsin did. So, like we talked about last night, foul trouble when you have three starters with two fouls in the first half. Of course, Zach Edey picked up two fouls a minute into the game and only played 7 minutes in the first half, and then Braden Smith picked up his third foul 2 minutes or a minute into the second half. It just shows that Purdue's a good team, but they need their players on the court throughout the game to beat good teams in the Big Ten. So we'll see how tomorrow plays out with their seeding line. They're obviously a very talented team, and they have high hopes. So there's been a lot of teams that have lost in the conference tournament and still done well in the NCAA tournament. So I'm sure Boiler Nation is hoping for that same result in 2024.
Well, Rob Blackman called me earlier tonight, and we talked about the concept of, look, this is an extra day. He said if they won today, played in the championship game tomorrow, they wouldn't get back to West Lafayette until, Tuesday morning, something like that. And so this allows them to be back, get some rest. It's a long grind to get to this point. And having a couple days in your own bed, in your own house, in your own city, being able to just get yourself rejuvenated, if you will, as you make this big push is very important. It doesn't downplay the fact that you lost, but there is another side to it that has some positive things about it.
Well, a friend of mine sent me a text that said after every loss, they've went on a six-game winning streak. So
I like
there's a lot of fans that are holding on to hope for – the season's been outstanding. So it's
sure.
You can hang your hat on a great year and another Big Ten championship. And I think Indianapolis is hosting a first and second round, so that probably a lot of fans are hoping for that. And if you're a number one seed, it's probably likely. So, there's not a lot to say other than that Purdue is good, and we'll just see how good they are.
They're good, but Corbin Lingenfelter, my producer, sends me a text and says the only points they scored in overtime were at the free throw line. So that's an issue.
Yeah. Well, and they were pretty good on the free throw line, but they missed one that could have, sealed the game in regulation.
Yeah.
And there's the interesting thing. I had these bullet points about it, Gillis, because two times in the second half he hit three pointers when they were down 2 points, and he hit a three pointer to put them up one. In fact, 7-19. And 3:40, two different points of the second half. They went from down two to up one with three-point shots. So you're right about the free throw line. They've got shot makers this year compared to what they've had in the past, but it's still a matter of execution. Even on that, last play, they had the ball in the lead, and offensive fouls called, and that's just the way it goes. But when you need to get a stop, they need to get a stop. So that's part of basketball. You got to play both sides of the ball.
That's exactly right. All right, you've heard semi-state scores. Anything surprise you, jump out at you on who's going to be coming to Indianapolis in 2 weeks to play for championships?
Well, Jeffersonville had a very impressive day, even though they're not advancing. Them beating Lawrence North was a great win for their program and what they've done there. And then they were ahead of Ben Davis most of the game. I was getting a lot of reports. Larry Gerald from my staff was there. But when you are the undefeated champion from last year in Class 4A and you got three solid returnees back, you know, don't ever discount Ben Davis. And the Ben Davis Fishers 4A championship game, I think, is a potential for a great game that will go down in the, you know, memory banks for a lot of people from the West Siders and the Hamilton County area school of Fishers. So that's that'll be a great game for sure. And then Scottsburg has really been good all year, obviously, but the way they beat Garen Catholic, the defending or the runner-up from last year and the number one team in Hoosier Basketball Magazine, was a very impressive win. And I really like the 2A game with Wapahani and Brownstown Central. Brownstown Central has been the best team in 2A all season, but I saw Wapahani in the sectional beat LaPel. I saw him in the regional beat Tipton, and then today they had two good wins. In fact, getting past Blackhawk Christian was a good win for Wapahani. So Isaac Andrews had three pointers in the overtime. I got a message from there as well. Dale was at that game, and he said that didn't score in the second half, but come overtime, he hit three pointers, and they really pulled away. I think they won by 11. So when the chips were down, Wapahani came through. And then in the Class A, what Bethesda did with their two games was very impressive. I know they had beaten Greenwood Christian earlier in the year, so they beat them again in the morning. But the way they blitzed Bar Reeve was very impressive. So I think Bethesda versus Fort Wayne Canterbury will be an interesting game. You know, Tucker Day is a kid that had been at Homestead for years, and he's had a good senior season, and Devin Lewis is an outstanding senior for Canterbury, so that Class A game will kick us off with a good day of basketball in 2 weeks. It won't be this weekend, I guess, but in 2 weeks, so we'll have another week to talk about some of these matchups next weekend.
Yeah, we will be able to talk about it next weekend. It's kind of a Hall of Fame dinner is Wednesday, so that stays. And so, you know, it's interesting. Everybody, we're able to make some adjustments for the NCAA division, first and second round. Why not? There are going to be some great games. Purdue, the opportunity to be in front of literally a home crowd, we hope will be a big boost to them.
Well, yes, I was at the game in 2020 when they played North Texas, and that didn't turn out the way the Boiler Nation would have hoped. So sometimes you can have a false sense of security being at home, but I think there's a lot of Purdue fans that are anxious. If they've already gotten their tickets, they'll be on the edge of their seats to make sure that they're number one seeds and going to be in Indianapolis, because it's great for the fans as much as anything. I'm sure the coaches and the players and, you know, the school program, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, roll the ball out and let's go play. But for the fans, it's good. And, you know, for the community of Indianapolis, whoever comes, you have an economic impact that is significant. So hopefully it's a good crowd and a good showing. And if Purdue's here, that's good. And then we'll be on the edge of our seats with Indiana State. I know North Carolina State beating North Carolina was probably not good for Indiana State, but that MAC championship was an interesting deal too, with Kent State and Akron. So there'll be a lot to be determined tomorrow, but like you've said a number of times, March is the greatest month, and this week and this weekend might be the greatest of the week. So
March is the greatest month because tomorrow's my grandson's 25th birthday. Next weekend will be my birthday, a number not to be discussed. So, Kip Westner, thanks for the call. Have a great, safe drive home. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll talk next weekend. Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you. Coming up, Matt Luce, the head coach at Wapahani. They're going to be playing for a championship. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Your final scoreboard update of the evening. I'm Nathaniel Finch. Let's start with high school basketball. We know the four matchups for the state finals in 2 weeks. Of course, next week, Indianapolis hosting the first and second rounds of the NCAA Division I tournament. So high school basketball has to wait a week. March 30th, 4A Fishers will take on Ben Davis. The Tigers won by 8 over Fort Wayne. Wayne today, Ben Davis, 52-51 winners over Jeffersonville. In 3A, Scottsburg will take on South Bend St. Joseph after Scottsburg got the 70-54 win over Garrett Catholic, and South Bend St. Joseph in triple overtime, 44-41, they beat Delta. In 2A, Wapahani will take on Brownston Central. Wapahani wins in overtime 60-49 over Fort Wayne Blackhawk, while Brownston Central wins 66-56 over Park Heritage. Finally, in 1A, the matchup is set. It's Bethesda Christian against Fort Wayne Canterbury. Fort Wayne Canterbury wins 56-53 over Liberty Christian tonight, and Bethesda Christian defeats Bar Reeve 63-38. The Pacers win that final, went 121-100 over the Brooklyn Nets at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. They play Monday at home against Cleveland at 7 o'clock. Purdue loses by one in the Big Ten Tournament semifinals, 76-75 in OT to Wisconsin. Wisconsin will take on the Fighting Illini. The big news from Trine University, Division III national champions. Congratulations to the Thunder, 69-61 winners over Hampton. Sydney, the 13th seeded Trine, upsets the top team in the nation, and they win the national championship from Fort Wayne. Congratulations to the Thunder. I'm Nathaniel Finch.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Matt Luce is the head coach at Wapahani. They'll be playing for a 2A championship in 2 weeks. They beat Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian tonight, 60-49 in overtime at Lafayette Jefferson to win. Coach, thank you so much for the call, and congratulations on this tremendous win for you and your kids.
Tremendous win, Bob Lovell. I really appreciate you still being on, and glad to be on your show and able to talk about my guys surviving and advancing to the state finals.
You know, it's obviously been a childhood dream for you and your kids. I love the story, you know, of how close you all have been. I can't begin to imagine how you and your guys feel right now.
Ecstatic and proud and happy. And again, these are guys I've grown up with since kindergarten and first grade, and just an incredible group. Bob, we were up by two into regulation, messed up, little play, gave up a wide-open layup, went to overtime, and our kids hung with it and won by 11. If you Google Isaac Andrews, three threes from about 40 feet, excuse me, about 27 feet, but he had 11 in overtime, and he was incredible.
Oh, my.
Incredible.
Yeah, that, you know, that doesn't, I'm trying to do the math in my head going, how in the world does a kid score 11 points in overtime?
Because he's really good. That's why. And I'm his shooting coach, I've decided, after the show he put on at the Crawley Center. But incredible performance. What a great win.
Is it close the entire way, Matt? Is it back and forth?
I think Wapahani was up 8 at halftime, and Blackhawk really picked it up in the third and fourth. But Andrews got fouled with about 8 seconds to go and hit two free throws, and we got mixed up on fouling at the end and gave up a layup and sent it to overtime. And, you know, a lot of teams would lose after giving up a last second
shot. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And hung with it, and he really pulled us through and just a – incredible performance by him in overtime, but also just the resiliency of our team.
Well, your team has been at or near the top of the poll all year long. You've taken everybody's best shot. I mean, the pressure that they have to be under, they love to play, they love the challenge, but still, you're getting everybody's best shot the entire year.
Yeah, bullseye on their back, but the consistency of them and just the way they go about their basketball practice, their games, their daily life, they're just neat kids and neat families. They just show up every day and do the best they can and do what their coach asks. We're glad we got another 2 weeks with them.
That to me is the bonus, is that you still get to stay together. You want to do it for as long as you possibly can because it's so much fun, and you get two more weeks.
Another thing about them, I'm sure you've heard this, our town of Selma went through a tornado on Thursday. We were out
right.
of school
I did
Friday,
know.
Got us
right.
real out of it. It was a really crazy time, affected our players and families and our community, and our guys just kind of, stayed the course and kind of just pulled together like our little town. So pretty cool.
It's a great story. I'm glad you shared it. I'll see you Monday for the meeting with the coaches. Matt Luce from Wapahani. They're moving on. I can't wait to see you either, Matt. Thanks so much for the call. Thank you. Okay. Wapahani, with great win. They'll be playing Brownstown Central for the 2A championship in 2 weeks. What a great, great day of basketball. I want to congratulate Trine University on the Division III National Championship. Brooks Miller, you're a tremendous coach, and I'm going to try to get you on the show quickly. Congratulations to the four semi-state winners. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this. And as always, it's always fun to be with you on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us and be with us through the night. So congratulations clearly are in order for Trine for their 69-61 win over Hampton Sydney in the Division III National Tournament at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne. It's cool to have the big crowd, have it in Indiana and have a big crowd for the Thunder. I think that's pretty strong stuff. Also, our congratulations to Grace and Indiana Wesleyan, who are moving on in the NCAA National Tournament. Congratulations to the Marion women's team. They're moving on. They've been in the tournament for the 10 straight years, so it's a great time of year. University of Indianapolis moves on in the Division II National Tournament Regional at UIndy. You need to be there tomorrow, 7:30 start. The Greyhounds play Ferris State after their win over William Jewell, 71-65 today. So congratulations to those teams, and congrats to the coaches. And also congratulations to some extremely happy and satisfied young men and their coaches around the state who will be coming to Indianapolis in 2 weeks. Just a reminder, 2 weeks they'll be coming to Indianapolis to play for the state championships at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Gainbridge is occupied this coming weekend with the upcoming NCAA first and second round matchups. And so the Fishers matchup Fishers taking on a very good Ben Davis team. That'll be in 2 weeks. That's in 4A. In 3A, South Bend St. Joe will play Scottsburg. In 3A. In 2A, Wapahani will play Brownstown Central. And the single-A championship will be Fort Wayne Canterbury, and their opponent will be Bethesda Christian. So that's all in 2 weeks. So tomorrow is a big, big day for all of us in our state as we await the NCAA tournament pairing show. We all know who should be in. But we need the basketball committee to do what we hope is the right thing and find a spot, an at-large spot, for the Indiana State Sycamores. Now, certainly the earlier matchups, North Carolina State winning, you know, some of these tournament situations clearly will impact what happens with the Sycamores. And so cross our fingers, hope that the news is good for the Sycamores, who have had a great season and, in my estimation, deserving of an opportunity. But I don't make the decision, so we shall find out. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great day tomorrow, some great basketball. Thank you so much to Nathaniel Finch and Corbin Lingenfelter. Thanks, as always, to our great stations that bring you this show every Friday and Saturday night. And thanks to all of you for making us the most listened to sports talk show in our state's history for these past 30 years. It is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.